Hello there. This is Skip Mancini. Winter weather's here, so come inside. I've got hot chocolate on the stove and some things to tell you about growing on the high plains.
Garden conversation can sometimes travel down divergent paths, one using correct botanical names for plants and the other marked by common names. Although I often take a walk down the first path, I sometimes find the going difficult. The botanical naming system, although essential for botanists, plant breeders, and other horticultural professionals, can, to the novice gardener, look extremely formidable. The names are in Latin, and I'm not always sure of the pronunciation. Then there are all those levels of classification, like kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. And besides, the common names are sometimes so well known, and they make such descriptive sense that it just seems easier to use them. So since only horticultural snobs would hold common name usage against anyone who expresses a love for the soil and its gifts, I'm sure my more learned gardening friends won't mind if today's talk is about three of my favorite houseplants that have great common names. Like good poetry, each name uses a minimum of language to provide a strong image. The first two have shapes that drape, making them ideal for hanging baskets or pots on ledges. Sedum morganianum is commonly known as burrow's tail because of the overlapping fleshy gray-green leaves that hang down on 3 to 4 foot long trails. The second plant, like burrow's tail, is a succulent with a botanical name of Senecio rolianus and a common name of string of pearls because it looks like a bunch of green pearls strung together and cascading from the pot. These two plants require similar care: bright indirect light, moist but well-drained sandy soil, and occasional trimming to keep the tails and strings manageable. By all means, root the trimmings to give to visitors who never fail to notice these unusual plants. Our final houseplant of the day is mother-in-law's tongue, so named for the spiky tongue-shaped leaves that bunch up from tuberous roots. This plant is properly called Sansevieria, and it comes in short-tongued and long-tongued versions. Long-tongue is sometimes called snake plant. The glossy green leaves can be solid or variegated with yellow stripes. Whichever type you choose, you'll find yourself with a most forgiving houseplant. It's always eager to please, growing in dry conditions, sun or shade, living a long life practically bug-free, and multiplying rapidly to provide you with more mother-in-law's tongue than you could ever need. This is a great plant for those people who say they kill everything they try to grow. I can never look at this plant without thinking of my growing up years in Sublette, Kansas, and the Crystal Grill Cafe. The windows looking out on our modest main street were lined with Maxwell House coffee cans bursting forth with the sharp tongues of Sansevieria. They grew there for years, the same plants in the same cans, tended by Viola and Mabel, whose hands not only pruned away the old leaves, but kneaded the homemade rolls, filled the cream pies, and doled out generous portions of meatloaf, chicken and dumplings, and the wonderful cheeseburgers of my childhood. The bright blue cans, filled with long shafts of green and yellow stripes, stood as silent sentries through all seasons. In hot chocolate winters and iced tea summers, these plants gave me the first of many greetings as I entered the little diner, found an empty stool at the counter, and proceeded to spin round and round while I listened to old-timers spin tales of a town in a time that has passed.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.